Court. This is Grief in Recovery Workshop. I would like to introduce our main speakers, Frank G. and Kristen H. Woo-hoo! I'll turn this meeting over to Kristen H.
Hi, I'm an addict. My name is Kristen. How are you guys doing? You look great. I'm grateful to be here. I'm going to tell you a little story about how I got here, because I'm all the way across the country, live in Seattle, Washington, and I came here to surprise my sponsor. And me and my best friend, we decided a while ago, she told us she was going to speak at this little tiny convention in Baltimore, and that her husband wasn't coming this time, right? And so we're like, well, where is it? What's going on? Like, and tell us more about it a little bit. And we didn't get nothing. Sorry if I swear in advance. I'll be careful. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, I can get a lot louder. All right. What really happened that was super cool was I walked in, we arranged it with the friend, he picked her up from the airport, we got here at the hotel and met, and we're sitting it right in the, so just a little history, my clean date is 9/28/1985, and she's been my sponsor for 25 years, and she's going to speak tonight, and she's a riot. She'll make you laugh. She'll make you cry. She's one of the most amazing women I've ever met. If you don't have a sponsor that you absolutely think is the best sponsor for you, find somebody else. You know, this is my recovery, right? And it's about me and what I need to do to stay clean. And it was absolutely wonderful. Like, she turned around, we're all sitting there, and she's in shock, and she starts crying. You know, because. Because after decades of living and loving here, if this is your first convention, welcome. I hope that you just get all fired up to keep doing this thing, to let us be part of your life-saving adventure. You know, because I don't know about you guys, but I was dying. I'm not going to go into anything about my using. I'm going to talk about the steps, and I'm going to talk about grief and how that's affected me in the last year. Everything in between. So anyway, that was a wonderful event. That's what happened. We're standing. So this guy James says, "Well, we got two people that didn't show up." And of course, so they said, he said, "We need some speakers." And we said, "Well, what's the topic? 4 and 5 and grief and loss, right?" And I'm like, "Shit." So I'm supposed to do that one, and I'm going to tell you why. So, I need help with time because I didn't do that. I brought my phone up here not to time myself, but because all of my literature is in here. So I have all my literature on digital, and I have it all at home, so I can highlight it and do it when I'm at home, but I can highlight it and search for any spiritual principle I want in any literature we have at any time, especially when I'm asked a question by somebody else and they need my help. So that's why this is here in my hand. And there's a section in the Living Clean called Grief, or it's got Death, Dying, and Grief, or whatever. It's really good if you haven't read it. There's another section called Family that I highly recommend. It's rough, but it's good. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about my for 1, 2, and 3, right? So this year, my mom fell down, broke her hip. She's 83. I'm very close to my family. I'm very close to my father. I'm very, the rest of them can piss off, whatever, you know, kind of. I love them, but it doesn't work out as well for me. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that because it's in my 6th and 7th step, right? That's like where it gets sticky for me sometimes. So my first step, 1, 2, and 3, so wait a minute. So my mom broke her hip. She fell down. My dad helped her. for the first few days. He ended up going into the hospital after about 5 days. She didn't want to get surgery, so she healed her own hip, because that's kind of how she is. She's a little eccentric. She just thinks she can do anything. So she gets on the walker, and she heals herself completely after 6 months. During that time, Dad gets a body scan, has cancer. He has a 20-year heart disease. And so long story short, he died in September, about 110 days after that, Mom's other hip failed. So she's been through a lot, right? And so has the whole family. But what I really want to say is, I don't know about you guys, but when I was new here, and there's a section in the what we call kind of back west, we kind of do some weird things around different, called in the flat book, it talks about, there's a section called called reservations, right? And when I came in here, I was on a mat. I was on a drug replacement therapy thing, you know, and I wasn't clean yet. And I went to my first meeting and I got a book and it saved my life. That kind of story. I came to my first meeting with my first child, who's now 39 years old, and she was 7 days old because I was ordered to go to meetings. And I brought her into a smoky bar with my dad, and that was our first meeting, right? We were not clean. We didn't stay clean it took me about, I was clean 9 months after my daughter was born, and he was clean 9 months after that. Anyway, so needless to say, I gave him my medallions every year for a long, long time, and he died clean. We were close. I love him. I ran his businesses. I ran the businesses that I used to write hot checks to. That's just kind of the way it went, right? So in the reservation section of my first app, it talked about the people in my life that I love very much that I was going to get loaded if they died, right? I was just going to hang it up, right? My kids died, anything like that happened. I've been clean. I have 3 children. Actually, I have 5 children. I don't even want to get into all that. Anyway, so in that first step, I really talked about that if this happens, that's too much. Over the edge, I'm going to get loaded, or I'm just going to kill myself. Right? That wasn't really my favorite choice. I'm not really a super depressed person. But anyway, so. Of course, I worked the rest of the steps, and what I really want to talk about is how it applies to grief, right? So years passed, I got 18 years clean, he has a heart attack, or, you know, he has a problem with his heart, and he goes into the hospital, and you know, he always used to say, you made your last deal with God when you got in the program, mm-hmm. right? Like, no more deals, right? And I said, so I said a prayer. I said, you know, I need this one more thing. I need this not to be it, you know? I need you to let me have just a little more time, please. You know, like, that's prayer, where we're just begging for what we want more than anything else in the world. And the thing that we said, you know, like, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to let him go. I'm not ready to deal with this. I knew I wasn't prepared enough. I knew I had more work to do before I had to let that go. So I made that deal with God, and I got like 10 more years, right? I got 10 more years. And so, and I wrote a lot of steps in between then and there. And I, so he passed on September 11th of this last year. What's happened is he was who's a really good guy. So I can't do this without talking a little bit about money. I don't really want to talk about money, but I got to tell you guys the truth. I didn't get up here, and I didn't get asked to be here to fucking stand here and pretend like it's all rosy, because it's not. It's just not. It hurts like hell. You got to be prepared for it, and every spiritual principle and every book you read has to be applied, and this shit sucks. That's just all there is to it. Grief is hard. It's surprising. It's not kind sometimes. It just shows up at the most inappropriate and inconvenient places and ways, and it's surprising. And you know what? I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that today. I'm super grateful for that today. My dad chose how he passed, which just sounds crazy. He knew he had a heart condition. He prepared us. He talked to us. He talked to me about what was going to happen, that everybody was going to mad mob you for money, and all this kind of crap was going to go on, and all that's gone on. And that's where my sixth step comes in, right? Is that I'm doing weird behaviors because of the grief that I thought I'd already worked really hard on, and I did. It's okay. You know, it's like if you have somebody in your life and they pass and you're doing weird shit and you're really mad as hell and you're scared and you're having more feelings than you ever had in your life, it's okay. That's part of the deal. Like, we don't get out of this thing without all that. Like, I really believe that. So, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to read something so I can get centered. And it'll express it a little bit better than I can when I'm super emotional. It's kind of more difficult for me to... grief is its own experience. Allowing ourselves the time and space to move through it is a commitment to ourselves and to honesty beyond what many of us have experienced before. The feelings move to their own rhythm and on their own time. And it can be very difficult to imagine that we are not doing it wrong when we are surprised by a wave of emotion at an inconvenient moment. As with so much of what we experience in recovery, there's no way, and certainly no right way, to go through it. We take comfort in the knowledge that all things must pass, that our feelings will certainly change, and that others around us who've had also grieved deeply find a way to survive their emotions and to thrive once more. We find in recovery that even the worst things we experience can be transformed into a lesson we learned, and then a tool we can use to help others. So, when I say he chose the way he died, he had all these medications. I came to the house on a Friday. He had asked hospice to come in. God, it's hard to really word retrieval. I don't know if anybody of you guys have gone through any real deaths lately. It's just a thing that happens to you. I lose my train of thought. I lose what I was talking about. I lose a conversation with you that I really want to be in, and I really have to cut myself some slack. Right? And then when I behave like an asshole, I get to say, I'm probably going to do that again. I'm really afraid. I'm really afraid because I don't know how to do this. And I'm afraid everything's going to be weird and everything's going to change. And that is what's happening. Like, without a doubt, that's what's happening. So I have to work on a sixth step. Then the next thing I have to do is work on seven, invite God into the gig, and really pay attention to being kind and loving and compassionate to myself. Above all else, like, if I'm weird and I can't talk and I'm emotionally explosive at times because of what's going on inside my body, there's another section where it really talks about letting that happen. Like, I want to experience a full range of emotions. I don't want to pretend. Like, so the whole grateful, beautiful part of grief is that it is so painful. And because I love so big, I grieve so big. Like, I cannot squish this emotion, pick that one, come to you in a certain way. I don't want to work that hard, right? I just want to experience a full range of emotions. And I'm certain that my higher power wants me to do that too. There's no doubt about it. So then I get the opportunity always to carry the message. And the most wonderful thing that I've been able to do in carrying the message lately is to carry it to my mother, who has then had her hip fail, had a huge, massive surgery, and I drug herself into the other room, called 911, called me to come to the hospital and said, "Don't tell your siblings. I don't want to make a fuss." Right? And at the time, she's like, I said, "Mom, do you have a medical power attorney? Is it the dead guy?" And she's like, "Yeah, it's the dead guy." And because we joke like that, and I said, "Maybe you should pick somebody else. Who do you want me to do it?" So we had to have the attorney come, and there's some really beautiful things that transpired from that. Like, all of a sudden she needed me. She needed me. So I showed up in service to my mom. And I dropped Christmas with my 2.5-year-old granddaughter. I dropped all the shit, and I just went to the hospital every day. And everybody I know in the fellowship, just like a whole bunch of them, are older than me. And because my peers in recovery that have been around the longest, they're all older than I am. And so that's kind of sad, but it's part of the deal. So I might want to work on this, right? Because it might happen again. For sure it will happen again, but lost. So she and I have been on this track. And so one of the first things that happened was he stopped taking his meds. I was like, "No." She's like, "Hospice came in and he's stopped taking all these meds." And I'm like, "He stopped taking all of his heart medications? All of them?" And she's like, "Yeah." And I knew. I knew that all my deals with God were up. I knew... And I knew that I needed to just let whatever, God help me with whatever was going to happen, whenever it was going to happen. So mom takes her hearing aids out, says goodnight to dad, goes in her room to go to bed. And I'm like, I'm going to stay right here on the couch. And I got up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. I said, "Dad, are you okay?" He was on the commode. He said, "I'm fine." And the next morning, when we woke up, mom was keening. You know that sound that we make when somebody's gone that hurts so bad you think you're going to die? And I said, she said, "He's gone. He's gone." And I got to be there with her, and he got to pick when he died, and I got to be present for the most difficult time in her life. They were married 64 years, their whole adult life. And now she doesn't know how to live without him. And so I'm there for her no matter what. So I know I only have a couple more seconds. And I want to say, you know, last night, I was sitting back there, right? So my 10th step is about when a feeling overwhelms me and I say something dumb, I do it. And then in my 8th step, I really practice hard on instilling in me to give myself a break, especially not to judge my feelings or judge myself or judge my grief process. Those things are so important when we're going through something this difficult. It's really important to love yourself. Because everybody around you is loving you. I'm going to read something real at the end right about that. But I was sitting back there and I didn't notice all the words. I didn't notice that your theme has all these spiritual principles around it, right? And that, so I hope I said something that really helped anybody or in the room with your grief or with your recovery. I hope 100% that you can apply these principles to the 12 steps in any way in your life that works for you, whether it be easy or not easy or wonderful or not wonderful. So I don't know if this is the right part. I know I'm supposed to get down. I'm sorry. So I'm going to slow down. I'm going to give myself some grace. I'm going to take a deep breath, and I'm going to finish. The vulnerability we experience allows us a different experience of love. It is an act of generosity to let people be close to us. And we try to understand that they too are going through feelings about what's happening. Our training in letting go of our self-obsession helps us now. Whatever I did to try to let go of my self-centered fear, which is the core of all of my character defects, is going to help me now. As we help our caring and sharing, as we help our loved ones through their fears and sadness, we may find the words we need to hear to get through our own grief and pain. One addict to help another is totally without parallel. Without my friends and the people I love going through, my sponsor's mother died 5 days before my death. God provided a space for me to go through something with her that's magical. I'm so grateful, and I'm really excited to hear this, gentleman. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm an addict recovering from the disease of addiction. My name is Frank. I hail from the greater Philadelphia region of Narcotics Anonymous, where we don't use no matter what. Dick falls off, we don't use. Mother die, we don't use. House repossessed, we don't use. Car foreclosed, house foreclosed, wife leaves, we don't use. So what we do when we come up here, when we're asked to come and share, we share our experience, strength, and hope. Because you're not going to do what I did. Listen, I'm going to tie all this in, because I don't have a lot of time. I'm long-winded. June 27, 1956, I was born and raised in Tokyo, Japan. The disease of addiction is prevalent all over the world. Trust me, not just here in Maryland. This thing told me, as I walked into a meeting, they don't look like me. Right? Listen, I'm talking about 2024. Walk into the room. If you look at us on the outside, you might walk out the door. Don't do that. Don't do that. Give yourself a break. Take yourself off the hook. Give yourself a chance, a fighting chance. Listen, me too. I understand. But I'm gonna give you this hit. We understand. Like, I came here as an I. I was molested at 9 years old by a guy that was just like me, half black and half Japanese. Like, who does that? While my mom was downstairs with her girlfriend. Like, who does that? You wonder why I'm in NA. But see, I want to come up here and sound fatally hip and terminally cool and tell you about the drugs. Now, what I want to talk about is the antecedent issue. The issue that came before the dope. I don't know how your sponsor works with you. And it doesn't matter, as long as you have a sponsor. Someone that you can talk to, that you can take your stuff to, that's way too much more serious than just putting your stuff out on the floor. You can put your stuff out on the floor, but some of us are sicker. Some of us have, our self-esteem is so low, we'll go out at the banquet table and talk about you. But then we want to hug you. There's something about us, I'm going to include you, that cries out for failure. I'm going right to the literature. So, thank you to the committee, first of all. What a risk, asking me to come here from Philly. Listen, I'm overwhelmed with gratitude. I asked the committee if I could be a secretary. Listen, I used over my feelings. I wanted to feel how it was to serve. Listen, this is not serving. That's some bullshit. That's what it is. It's a shit from the corner. This is how I grew up. I always wanted to fit in. I told you I'm not from here, so I had an afro. I still go to the beach to get a tan. I got some issues that I have to work with, but I want to talk about this. Grief, deep sorrow, especially that caused by someone's death. I had no idea that I was going to talk about my father, whose name was Frank. My name is Frank. His father's name was Frank. and my son is Frank. We're all caught in the grip. I don't care how long I'm clean. It doesn't matter. I'm clean today. But we all have that same disease. It's broken, but here's the hit. Somewhere in my growing up, I missed love. My dad would take me to the bar at 42nd and Westminster, you know. It's the kid. He's a light-skinned kid in the hood. He's got the curly hair. And he says, give my son whatever he wants. Shit, man. That's the setup. But I never got coddled. Who sits their son at the bar and says, give him whatever he wants? Started stealing at 4. You know, all those behaviors came. My dad's disease became more prevalent. You know, you guys know. Once too many is 1,000, never enough, right? We get clean and then we tell our sponsors, well, this and this and that. And I remember my father saying to me that, you know, don't leave the steps. Oh, then my mom says, son, don't leave the steps. The girl came. Don't leave the steps. I never got that connection with my dad. My mom said she loved me. My dad said he loved me. But he would whip me all day long. He was proud of me because I was a good-looking kid. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not saying I'm good looking now. I'm just saying that's what I was being told. So I'm being fed all this stuff on the inside. Now, ego, you can't tell me nothing now. I'm the shit. He commenced to start whipping my ass. He was a police officer. I'm urinating. You know, I'm acting out. I'm an only child. I'm spoiled. I'm lost. I'm looking for direction. I don't know if you guys, when you were born, there are no directions for us. None. That's why we suggest the basic text. Because everything that we need, we can reference. And we can talk with our sponsors, our friends, and our support group. We can talk about, this is the only disease you can talk away. There's no other disease that you can talk away. You can actually sit down with another recovering addict with one day and say, guess what? And you know what that addict will say? If you're open-minded, yeah, Frank, me too. The black guy in the back with the pink hair, the pink panties, the multicolored fingernails, the girl that comes in with the other girl. I mean, you know the disease, right? These are the people that the creator of everything sends in to help us. But do we really want the help? Mm-hmm. I had no idea that I have more than just grief of death. My existence is grief sometimes. Like sometimes I just don't like to be in my own skin. You know, I remember quickly taking a shotgun because I had a $127 shut-off notice on a water bill. But guess what? I forgot the first half of the first step. I'm unmanageable. So it was a shut-off notice. So I take my hand, my thumb, put it on the trigger, put the shotgun in my mouth. And my wife's a school teacher. For some reason, I could never pull that trigger. That's what I say, man. Now, they cut the wood off, and they cut the gas off. And, you know, I went through all that clean. I went through all the feelings. Because I didn't have what I thought I needed to survive my emotions, I used drugs. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know, and I want to remind everyone that we don't use no matter what. You can come up with any story, any girl, any boy, depending on what your flavor is. Listen, we don't judge. I don't care what people say. We don't judge. You do you. Listen, we're here to save our lives. It's our responsibility. You might not hear what you need to hear here, but you better call somebody and tell them when your ass is on fire. This is the last house on the block. We don't get another shot. You can play around with it if you want. You can twiddle with it. You say, "Hey, here's the key to my room. I'll meet you up there." Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. See what happens, right? That thing will smack you so quick. We're here to heal. We are here to heal. If you're here to mess around, listen, bless you, man. Seriously. The message is that any addict can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way of life. After it's all said and done, that's all we have. That comes from out of the literature. I didn't write that. That is our fifth tradition. That's the message. That's it. It's that simple, because that's all we got. We have to remind ourselves that the dope caused that unmanageability. So here, short story, back to my dad. I never got that feeling that I got from my mom. So I struggled, man. And everything that we talk about that we do, the molestation that happened to me, yeah, it happened to somebody else via me. The lying, the stealing, all that stuff, everything that we do, not just me, I'm going to include you. That's what happened. When my dad died, his roommate said to him, father choked on his own saliva. I had to go around to the family and get money. We're poor. We are poor. We don't get rich in recovery. We are poor. And I had to go to my aunts and my uncles and my cousins to get money. They gave me money to get my dad cremated. I never paid the balance. You know why? Because I was angry at him because he would beat me every single day. But my sponsor says, your dad did the best that he could. I'm not going to come up here and bash my parents. My dad was an addict. When I seen the court being a court appointed, he killed somebody. He was a Philly cop. He was drunk. Where's the forgiveness at, Frank? Listen, we are under no illusion that this is a 12-step fellowship. I had to do some real deep work on that. My dad spiraled down. He's my first example of no matter what. I don't want to follow him. I do not want to follow him. This is how bad the grief was for me. This is perfect. For 10 years, conventions, meetings. You see, I carried a box. You already know. Inside of the box was Frank Gate Jr.'s ashes. That pain, those ass whippings, they went away. It's that internal stuff. He never said that he loved me. So I grieved. I never felt anything like this. But guess what? Me too. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. But guess what? We do recover. As we were descending, and I was saying to myself, you know what, he's done. I saw my sponsor, so much that he done for me, too. You know, he gave us a roof. He brought us to America. You guys don't know. We're free. My cousin said to me, she said, Uncle Frankie loved you. But he didn't know how to tell me that he loved me. So I was like the Hulk, so I ran wild. Right? I ran wild. You want to love this. The repossession man. Because sometimes I forget the first step. The second part of it is unmanageability. The repossession man called my phone. He said, hey, Frank, yeah, this is there. I'm from General Motors. Repossessing your truck. 3 months behind. He said, but I see a lot of personal items in your truck. I want you to come out and get them. I said, oh, thank you. Ran outside, got my clothes on real quick, and I got everything except for the box. Yeah. I don't know where he's at. I did the best that I could. I called my sponsor in Baltimore and I said, Frank G, Narcotics Anonymous needs you. And I said, they don't need me. I need them. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm an only child. I suffer from low self-esteem, self-acceptance. I'm down at the beach, man, trying to get a tan. I had an afro when I was 18. I wanted to look like Julius Erving. There are no directions that come with us. We have to get our own experience, man. We have to tell people what's really going on with us. We have to be honest. And grief is a place that a lot of people don't want to talk about. I'm going to close with this. There are a lot of things in the literature, and we always suggest the literature. In the Just for Today, right, this is what it states, and this is a cross-reference. Often we have to face some type of crisis during our recovery, such as the death of a loved one. I did not open my book up until 5 o'clock when Tammy came looking for me. Because I didn't want to talk about it. Because I remember. I know my dad's dead, but I just want to let it go. But I got to face it, right? This is a program of total abstinence. There are times, however, such in the case of health problems involving surgery and or extreme physical injury, when medication may be valid. This does not constitute a license to use. It still goes back. My grief is temporary. It still goes back to the newer member. Don't put no dope in you. That's really the bottom line, man. Go through it. Call somebody. Kick somebody. Do something. Trip somebody. But say, listen, dude, I need to talk to you. I'm going to use. Like, come on, man. Fatally hip and terminally cool. If you're going to use, I don't care what your clean time is. This disease doesn't care. It doesn't care if you're black. It doesn't care if you're white. It doesn't care if you're a Phillies fan. It doesn't care if you're an Orioles fan. It doesn't care. It might want you miserable. It might want you in bed with two men. I don't know. But I tell you what. I don't mess with it anymore. Thank God, you know, we don't plan these events. We don't plan what we have to share. We just come up and we do, you know, the best we can. I rely on the literature, man. I go to the literature. I talk to, you know, other people that are experienced. And I say, listen, what's your take on this? Call my sponsor. And if he doesn't answer, I call him again like I used to call the cop man. Until he answers the phone. Where you been, dude? Like I've been trying to call you. Did you leave me a message? I said, yes, I did. You need to answer it. Are we afraid to talk with our sponsors? Are we afraid to interact and say, listen, dude, I'm caught in the grip. My sponsor loves me. And he teaches me one thing. He says, listen, keep smiling and keep helping others. That is how I deal with the grief. I'm not cured, dude. Listen. I'm sicker than most. I got some stories, but I deal with it the way that it's suggested. So anyway, I'm an addict recovering from disease of addiction. My name is Frank, and I'm so honored. Besides saying that I love you, something we forget to tell people, thank you for showing up for your recovery. That's all I got.